Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Cutting the Curd has been brought to you by Academy Opus Cassius. The Academy Opus Cassius is the cheese industry's unique center for professional development, offering both practical and classroom training in the heart of France. For more information, visit academy-mons.com. That's academy-mons.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby, broadcast live to the cosmos on the Heritage Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Cutting the Curd on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Ann Saxelby, and we have a studio full of folks today. Very excited to have everybody over with us here at Roberta's recording another show. Got Sophie Schlesinger, who is my co-host. We've got Brian Civitello and Jason Sobosinski. Did I say that correctly?
Absolutely.
All right, cool. Who are the proprietors of the Mystic Cheese Company, which is a new cheese operation that we're very excited about. And last but not least, certainly not least, we have Adam Moskowitz with us here today, who is...
Happy Friday, everybody!
Who is the instigator, mastermind behind the Cheesemonger Invitational, Larkin Foods, and Columbia Cheese, amongst other things. Thank you for coming, Adam.
Thank you.
So we're going to start off, we're going to go sort of round robin because, you know, there's a lot to talk about. So everyone's just going to kind of chime in. But we're going to start off talking about the Mystic Cheese Company. Their website is mysticcheese.com for anybody who has curiosities, questions.
It's a really beautiful website, too.
It's a beautiful website,
by the way.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Really
yeah.
nice.
And so Mystic Cheese started in 2013, right? I mean, this is kind of the very inception of it.
We're an absolutely brand new company. We've
Babies.
Only been making cheese for about 4 months now, and we're just getting rolling. We've got our first cheese variety out now, Melville, which is new in Saxelby Cheesemongers this week.
We're very excited about that.
Yay.
Yes.
As are we.
Yeah, yeah. And so I like, so your website says, you know, dedicated to the science and art of milk metamorphosis. and I love that. I feel like that statement in and of itself is like, you know, saying, hey, this is not your average cheese company. You know, there's a lot sort of behind what you guys are doing. And I guess if we could just start by... Well, you know, it's funny. I was reading your blog, and actually, I'm gonna read a quote of yours, Brian, just to
sure.
embarrass you, if that's okay.
No, it's fine.
So you describe the process of making cheese as follows. You say, as a skill set, the practice of cheese making requires immense mental focus, astute observation skills, excellent record keeping, and a healthy dose of physical stamina. On a deeper level, making cheese is both a science and an art, a melding of microbiology and the senses. It takes the ability to master the mechanical rigidity of pure manual process while maintaining the fluidity to read and react to constant variability in the cheese making process caused by the natural ebb and flow of milk composition, processing environment conditions, and even your own mental and physical state of well-being. That's intense,
that's
dude.
A bold statement.
That's a bold statement.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So I love that because I feel like people think of making cheese as this kind of romantic notion of just, you know, being in at one with the animals and being in the creamery and just kind of like thinking your way to beautiful cheese, and it's not so.
No, I think it could be a mixture of both. I mean, there's definitely days where I'm looking out the window, staring out over a beautiful pastoral scene, and I'm just in that moment. But at the same time, there's this really complex relationship going on with milk and lactic bacteria that just fascinates me to no end. So
yeah.
I like having that mixture of both in my world.
Definitely, definitely. Well, so tell us how you came to cheese making, and then Jason, I want to hear your story too, because you guys are both, you know.
So my journey to cheese making started about 12 and a half years ago at this point. I was sitting on a swing with my grandfather, and he started telling me stories about his arrival into America and making cheese
and
with
where
his
is
mom.
He from?
He's was an immigrant from South Central Italy,
okay.
From a region called Benevento.
Okay.
And when his family arrived here into America, actually into Hamden, very close to where Jason is, him, his eight brothers and one sister started raising goats in abandoned lots in this little town. And they did it as a way to get by, you know, so they were milking the goats, making cheese, and just kind of trading or bartering with other folks or selling some just to make enough to eat and to get by. And the story enthralled me so much that I kind of just ran with it. I decided that day that I was going to get into cheese and nothing was going to stop me. And so I bought a plane ticket. I jumped over. I was in Milan for a few days trying to hook up with different cheesemakers or anybody in a cheese shop that would, you know somebody. And about a week later, I finally hooked up with a gentleman named Michele. And I ended up doing some alpine dairying. So we were on the Italian-Swiss border for a full alpine dairying season. We had 30 goats and a cow, and we climbed our way up through the snow. And that was my life for about a full year.
That is so intense and so old school. I love it. Just jump on a plane, land in Milan, find a way to make cheese.
Yeah, it was a bootstrapping, for sure. After that, I got a little more confidence with my Italian language skills after, you know, working with some dialects. I jumped off, went south, and found myself in Abruzzo. I lived with a family down there for another 2 years, herding sheep and making some local pecorino-style cheeses. And after that, I kind of came back to the States and started my education towards the science end of things. So I really wanted to find out what the mystery of the curd was. When I was in Italy, there was a lot of artisan touch, a lot of touch, feel, taste, smell. But I wanted to know what was happening behind that.
And the years of tradition, it's like, why do you do it that way? It's like, well, because you do it that way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I wanted to find out what was happening. So I ended up pursuing a degree at the University of Connecticut in food science. And I finished that. And while I was in school at the University of Connecticut, I was able to link up with some Italian grad students. And through them, I was able to get internships with Parmigiano Reggiano, Gorgonzola, Taleggio. So I worked with a lot of the DOP cheeses in the North Central region while I was over there. And there I got a lot of technical training.
Wow, so cool.
I feel like that's kind of the missing link for a lot of, you know, American cheesemakers is the science, you know, side of it. And it's so important.
Absolutely. It's difficult to find here. We just don't have the programs for it yet.
Yeah.
I think it's coming.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, so Jason, I should back up a little bit, is, you know, part owner in the Mystic Cheese Company, is also owner of Casius Fromagerie and Bistro in New Haven, Connecticut, the Casius Cheese Truck.
Crispy Melty.
Sorry.
And, that's a great name.
Also the host of The Big Cheese, which is a show on the Cooking Channel. So you're, you know, well submerged in the world of cheese.
I like cheese.
Yeah. And how did this happen for you? How did you yourself a cheese man?
Brian was working cheese in Connecticut, and we met on the patio at Casius. Had lunch, talking cheese. This is probably like 3, maybe 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, just started a friendship there. And when he came to me saying, look, I'm doing this thing. I'm going out on my own. I want to do it. I said, well, I want to be part of it then because I believe in it. Because I know you are.
This guy's
He's the master cheese man.
Ladies and gentlemen, not only is this guy like sounding super nerd sexy, he's actually like a really sexy dude. This is like, I'm developing a man crush right now. And Sobieski, this guy, he loves cheese. So when this dude met this dude, you must have freaked out.
Yeah, we kind of...
romantic
we were like,
night on the porch.
We've been holding hands ever since. We get together and just eat cheese.
Wax poetic.
We jumped right into it, and you know, Brian was straight up. He was like, "Listen, I make cheese. You sell cheese. Let's do this."
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, let's just go for it. So we've been rocking for the last 6 months and selling at farmers markets. I can't keep it on the shelves at Casius. I put it on the cheese truck and make crispy melties out of it, and they fly. I mean, it's this is our first cheese, and it's just it's been bombing. It's been killer.
Well, let's talk about this cheese. This cheese is called Melville, and it comes. I have to say, your packaging and your website, as Sophie was saying, is kind of a coup in and of itself. Really beautiful design.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know who's behind that, but congrats.
That's all in house. We're doing that in house.
Well done.
That's an artist that we've hired. That's my brother, Brian, and myself all just arguing for hours about no, this wave should go this way. And just because we, you know, the heart of it is that, and something that Brian and I had agreed on when we started talking about it is we want to make this fun. It's got to be a good time first and foremost.
Why do it
for
otherwise?
Everybody. We're gonna make. Exactly. We know we're gonna make great product. It's going to be delicious, but we also want to make sure that it's presented in a really fun way because it's cheese. Cheese is fun.
It's true. So anyone, we're going to put a picture up online, but you know, so the Melville logo is like it's this whale, this cartoon whale in a sea of I don't know. It's a little bit like Maurice Sendak-y to me in some ways. There's a little bit of Where the Wild Things Are.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a children's book.
Or Shel Silverstein.
Absolutely.
Which, you know, is another segue. let's just talk about Melville for a second, then we'll get into future plans. So Melville is a very interesting cheese, in my opinion. I've eaten a lot of cheese over the years, and I've never had one that's quite like this. Would you say it's Crescenza style? Is that kind
of...
Yeah,
it's definitely in the, it would be classified in the Stracchino family of cheeses for sure.
And what's that family? Just to break it down for the listeners.
So it's a very small family of cheeses from north central Italy. They're classified really are texturally they're very smooth, pliable, meltable. So you would find your Crescenza, your Taleggio. Something called squacquerone, which is a really fun cheese, never exported.
Squacquerone.
Squacquerone.
I like that.
It's a beautiful cheese.
Yeah.
So they're really classified by the curd is cut. It's mixed for a very short period of time, and the curd is gathered in the hoops, and it cinerises in the hoops. So you have a long acidification period where the cheese is in the hoop rather than mixing the curd in the whey for a long period of time. So they tend to be moist,
yeah,
wet.
That's why I'm here.
Wait, seriously?
So everyone's
kind of...
Cinerises?
Yeah.
Wait, let's back up.
We actually... This dovetails... Sophie and I want to start a segment where we do, like, cheese lingo. Because, like, perfect. Yeah, you say cinerises and everyone else says what? Yeah.
Huh? Well, that's Brian. Brian is a cheese, like, mad scientist. And so sometimes he puts some of the text together for our press that we're going to put out. And then I take it and I completely rewrite it so that everybody else can read it and understand what the heck he's saying.
So the cheese
ahead, Brian.
Drains in the hoop.
There you go.
The cheese drains in the hoop. That's cinerises.
That's
the draining process.
The draining process. The whey expelling from the curd.
See, yeah.
Every day.
We are but humble cheesemongers.
Hang out with Brian Civitello and you will learn more than you can handle.
So now I know.
It's a gravity press, basically, right?
Exactly.
What you're saying? Gravity, instead of a hard press, it's gravity. It's pressed under
its own weight,
exactly.
Which is very, not much at all. They're talking about...
The weight of the curd and the hoop.
Yeah, half a pound at most.
What is, because it's not pressed, instead of using... A press in using gravity. What is gravity? What's its effect on it? Cinerises wise,
smooth.
Very smooth.
So smooth.
Very smooth cheese.
This cheese is, and I like to drop his name because it's a big deal around here. But Ken from Darien Cheese Shop. He said when I called him and said, "What do you think, man?" He's like, "It's a blank canvas." This cheese takes on anything you put with it. And I love that, you know, having a cheese shop, because I want people to take the cheeses and I want them to cook with them. I want them to pair them with jams and jellies. I want them to, you know, put them on top of an oyster and roast them. I want them to do things with their cheese and have a good time with it, not just put
it
on the cheese pedestal and make it this, like, big, big deal. So... I heard
you even turn this cheese into French toast for your son with a little maple syrup.
Cheese loves maple syrup, and so instead of butter, I mean, you know, of course the French toast is fried in butter because I'm an American. I'll put a little bit of a hunk, a knob, have you, of Melville right on top. Nice hot French toast. Let it kind of do its gouge, and hit it with some maple syrup. It loves maple syrup.
I wish we had some maple syrup in the studio. We do not, but we do have the cheese, and I'm gonna cut some pieces and I'm gonna pass it around because I think, you know, to continue describing this cheese is important. It's a square. It's totally white. It has a blubbery texture, to steal from your website. It's called Melville, you know, the whale, you know, yep. And it does. It has a blubbery texture. It's amazing. It's kind of this squishy,
but you're not lactose intolerant, are you?
Dense.
No way.
Wow. Texture. And
well,
right,
it's goat's milk, so that's okay.
And right now, yeah, it's made from goat's milk. Can you talk a little bit about the fluctuation in seasonality? I know when I tried it back in February at Ken's, at the Dairy and Cheese Shop, it was made from cow's milk.
Yeah, we decided to celebrate the coming kind of goat's milk spring celebration by pairing up with a local dairy in Connecticut called Oak Leaf Dairy. They've got 110 goats out on pasture.
So good.
Yeah, the milk is phenomenal right now. So we're really happy to have the goat's milk. It's a little bit tighter than the cow's milk. It doesn't flow as much. It doesn't melt as well. But we're going to be switching back to cow's milk in about a month.
Okay.
It melts, though.
Yeah. No, it you melts. Can tell. Yeah.
I mean, it's melting in the studio right now.
Yeah, it's becoming very unctuous.
It's squishy, like curd, but not sharp or acidic. Or bright, it is clean as a whistle.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's super clean.
Very much so. And a very pleasant little sourness to it, which is the hallmark of any good Italian cheese. And I feel like what you don't get from Italian-style cheeses that are made in the U.S. because they're often...
It's surprisingly good. Everyone that tries it starts off with this, it looks like a...
Meh.
Yeah. And then they try it.
I was afraid.
Then they try it and they're like, oh.
Yeah.
Fresh goat cheese scares me because I find goat milk to be one of the greatest magnifiers of terroir. So fresh goat, it's like the feet of the goat. And if aged goat is like the trees. And you get, it's like really up in your face, like kicking you in the teeth. I was afraid to try this cheese because I will admit to you that goat cheese is my third favorite milk of cheese.
Right behind camel. Just kidding.
Donkey.
Actually. Yeah. Donkey. Yeah. Actually, no. You know what my favorite cheese is?
What?
Chicken cheese. But finding the teats is so hard. No joke. This cheese is extraordinarily phenomenal.
It is so good. All right. So while we're going to eat the rest of it. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about Mystic Cheese and the upcoming Cheesemonger Invitational. So stay with us.
We got a long night of cocaine out of us. This light.
The Academy Opus Cassius is the cheese industry's unique center for professional development, offering both practical and classroom training for cheese professionals ready to move their careers to the next level. When you come to learn at the Academy, we instill our love for cheese, our expertise, and our experience so that you can support artisanal producers, impeccably care for the fine cheeses you carry, and serve your customers with skill and enthusiasm. We integrate hands-on practice, formal instruction, and classroom discussion in all of our courses. The Academy's programs are offered at the Mons Fromagerie in the heart of France, where cheese undergoes affinage and cheeses are received, prepared, and shipped. Several Mons retail shops are nearby. The surrounding countryside is the home to producers whose excellent cheeses are cared for by the Mons team. The Mons cheese business has more than 50 years' experience caring for and teaching about cheese in France, a country known as the source of some of the world's greatest cheeses, deepest cheese tradition, and the highest level of technological research and rigor in cheese making and ripening. The Academy has been recognized by the American Cheese Society as the first approved education center for those preparing for the Certified Cheese Professional Exam. Enroll now for Essential Foundations for Cheese Professionals or Affinage, the Art and Science of Maturing Cheese. For more information, visit visit www.academy-mons.com. That's academie-mons.com. Certified Cheese Professional is a registered trademark of the American Cheese Society.
And we are back. I shouldn't repeat this on the air, but Adam belched so wonderfully.
He's right, just showing his appreciation for the cheese.
Right at the end of the commercial break, it was like, and we're back.
I think the belch actually almost deserves its own name. We're going to call it the Melville Slider.
Nice. So today on Cutting the Curd, I am here with Brian Civitello and Jason Sobosinski of the Mystic Cheese Company, and also with Adam Moskowitz, who is the mastermind of the Cheesemonger Invitational.
Woo, woo, woo!
Which is in its fourth year this
fourth
year?
Annual Cheesemonger Invitational.
Amazing. Wow. So let's lead off with the Invitational. What's up? When is it this year?
Saturday, June 29th, the event begins again. For the public, please come at 6:30. For the VIPs, please come at 5:30. For the mongers participating, we start at 9.
I want one of those. You know how I'm like Hot 97? They have those like, wah, wah, wah. Like, I want one of those effects for the Cheesemonger Invitational.
Wah, wah, wah.
All right, so cheesemongerinvitational.com is the website. And I hear you have a special deal for Cutting the Curd listeners.
I love Cutting the Curd. The fact that there might be people listening to Cheese on the radio is just extraordinary to me. So, for those listening to Cutting the Curd, there is a special discount offer for tickets to CMI. We're giving $15 off. That equals 25%. All you have to do is go to the website, go to the place where to buy tickets, and ask for a pair word. Put Cutting the Curd as one word, and you will get $15 off. There's only 25 of these tickets available, so dial fast with those fingers, people.
Yeah. That's a good deal.
For $45, it's all you could eat, all you could drink. I've got secret sauce going behind the scenes making cheese that will just bug you out in a warehouse setting with all you could beer, all you could wine. Wine away, baby. It's going to be crazy.
And $5 of every ticket goes to benefit the DZTA.
Daphne Zeppo's Teaching Award, furthering the travel expertise of mongers trying to do cheese for life. Yo, the best way to learn in this game is to go out and do it. Like, we just listened to my man over here. It might be super romantic to be in the cheese game, but guess what? It's hard work, people. If you think it's hard work as a cheesemonger standing on your feet, try cheese making. Yeah, it's got a beautiful postcard setting, but it's hard work. My man just proved it.
Exactly.
What was I just talking about?
All right.
Cheesemonger Invitational.
Cheesemonger Invitational. Exactly. We'll talk about hard work. Cheesemonger Invitational is no walk in the park. What's the competition looking like this year?
Oh, we're stiff. We got 57 mongers. Yeah.
Wow. And what about, where are the mongers from? Do we have any international mongers coming in?
So I'm going to admit to you that I've been trying to focus this back down to America.
Oh.
Because I have global aspirations, but I want individual penetrations.
Ah. So it's not like a xenophobic move. It's more of like a world domination, like eventual.
Well,
like,
let's
expand the competition to the world.
I just think America's a really big place. I think Europe sometimes forgets that. Like, people don't realize that, like, the state of New York is as, like, big as France. So, like,
Texas,
excuse me.
Well, equivalent.
I one time asked the capital of Pittsburgh, so who knows what I know.
Yeah.
The point that I'm making is that I think America's really big, and we got to honor all the Americans first and foremost. If Europeans want to come and play, hey, come and play. You could participate, but I really, really am trying to focus on the American cheesemakers right now. For the first time this year, we have somebody from Hawaii. Ooh,
wow.
That's cool.
That's badass.
Super cool.
Yeah.
But I think overall, I haven't done the official count yet, but I think we got about 26 states.
Nice.
I'm really pleased. 57 mongers, I think that's a big deal.
That's a big deal, yeah. And so take us through the competition this year. What's the ringer you're going to put these mongers through?
So this year, what we got, the first round is an exam. Second round is a taste test where you got to pick out really important things like country of origin, milk type, and so on. Third round is plate your slate. You got to make a perfect bite. You got two elements beyond cheese that are food related, so no beverages, cracker, counts as an element. You got to make a perfect bite and get judged on that. Then we got salesmanship. I got actually a cheese case this year donated to us by the company that donated it to us. Thank you. And
well, we can circle back.
We'll circle about that. We'll edit that in later. So we're going to do some salesmanship. We're going to give a monger a counter and make him sell. Then we have you got to submit a sign and then read it like a poetry slam. And then you got to cut to weight. You got to cut by eye a quarter pound, third of a pound, and a half a pound. And then you got to wrap real fast, real well, real clean. And then you got to do a pair from thin air. You basically got to like dine and dash, sort of like dine and jazz, except you got to go into my warehouse when everybody's drunk and crazy, and you got to find a perfect bite and make it for them.
I would use the McClure's pickles. Exactly. Or the McClure's potato chip, the pickled potato chip.
I think that's a key ingredient.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Well, so it's a full night. It's a full day. It's a big day. It's a good thing. We got winners. The prize package is going through the roof. Like I put up $1,000 cash for the winner, but apparently all my hosts, we got a bunch of great ones. Please check out the website to see who they are. I wish I could remember them right now, but I can't. Sorry, but they're great. And
It's that Melville. It has like
it's just the Melville. The point that I'm making is that I think Creminelli is going to give away a trip to their Salamumi camp, maybe to the top three.
Nice.
And all the hosts I think are looking in some creative way to kind of make it all more exciting during that day.
And speaking of making it more exciting, before the show, we were talking about this awesome discount, which is already super super generous. But you also said that we're going to host a little friendly competition of our own for a VIP pass to the Cheesemonger Invitational.
So we you got a general admission ticket. That's all you could eat, all you could drink. And the food's going to be super extraordinary. We're going to have like a fondue for days. We're going to have raclette in like every corner. We're going to have a fixin' table that makes you feel like you're a plumber because you've never seen so many fixin' of things in your life with your tubes. And then we're going to do hamburgers and mac and cheese and anything melted I'm going to try to pour on you. But the point that I want to make is that VIP gets in an hour early, so they get first crack at the snack. But more importantly, one of the rounds is create that perfect bite that I told you guys about. So the VIP gets to actually taste every single, that's 57
heck yeah,
perfect orgasmic bites from the best cheesemongers in America for you. So
we said we're going to do a haiku.
Cheese haiku.
Cheese haiku.
Cheese haiku.
Which is 575. Just in case anybody doesn't remember what a haiku is. Submit your cheese haikus to info@heritageradionetwork.com. Info@heritageradionetwork.org. And we, Sophie, Adam, and I will pick our favorite cheese haiku, and you will get a VIP pass.
VIP pass for cheese haiku.
For free.
For free. You will bug out. Plus, if you'd like, I'll let you read it.
That would be amazing.
You have to.
What'd you say, Jason? What'd you say?
I think they should have to read it. If they get in for free, they have to read it. Yeah. They have to entertain you with something.
Yeah, 575. It's five syllables. It's seven. If they can't do that, then forget it. You're not worth it. Yeah. So, yeah, VIP, you got to read it. Yeah. Sorry.
Just a random thought. As Adam was describing the invitational, I really wish that Stefan from Saturday Night Live could explain the Cheesemonger Invitational.
Oh, my God.
That would be another good competition.
Bill Hader.
All right, I'll tell you what. I'll give another. If anybody thinks they're a really good Bill Hader impersonator.
Or if anybody knows Bill Hader.
Or if anybody knows Bill Hader. If you send me a video of your best Stefan impersonation to Adam at Larkin.com, I will give you VIP pass plus $100 to do it. At the Cheesemonger Invitational.
Amazing.
But I want video impersonation.
Video, Adam, costume, full description of the Invitational. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, serious.
Adam@Larkin.com, Adam@CheesemongerInvitational.com, Adam@Columbiacheese.com. Find me on Facebook. Send me video of Cheese Hater. Cheese Hater. Who's a Cheese Hater? Who's a Cheese Hater?
That's genius. Sophie, you nailed it. She nailed it. All right, so we only have a couple minutes left, and there's just too many exciting things happening today. But so Mystic Cheese, what I want to talk to you guys about, which, I feel like, in the very beginning, we were talking about how you are not a traditional cheese company. And I feel like that goes for you know, the roots of how it started. It goes for the cheese making process. It goes for where you make the cheese. So let's talk a little bit about the cheese making process, because it is not your traditional cheese making process.
No. So the past 3 years of my career, I've been consulting with farms and cheesemakers all across America, helping them create better cheeses, build better factories. And one of the problems that I kept coming up against was cheesemakers building infrastructure that didn't last. Mm-hmm. And so I find a family farm, they've spent their entire life savings building a cheese room that just wasn't right, and they're going to get shut down if they don't reinvest again. And I kept coming up against this time and time again. So my goal was...
What weren't they doing to make it last?
So a lot of construction with wood and materials that just weren't...
Here, we'll throw a bat in the corner of our barn.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Why not? Put some of that, plastic up on the walls. You'd hose it down.
And sometimes that works, and sometimes it just lasts a year or 2 years. And then you're looking at another investment, and mom and dad have tapped out their entire life savings building this cheese room.
And interrupting your business then to, improve your cheese room.
So I started looking into making a modular cheese structure. And so it really started looking at, could it be a trailer or could it be an entire truck that was mobile? And then I wanted to ship something. So I said, well, how am I going to make it and ship it across the country? Mm-hmm. And so I started looking at shipping containers.
Which we're sitting in right now.
I love shipping containers!
Yeah, Adam loves shipping containers more than anybody.
Containers! Oh, jeez!
So the ultimate outcome of all of my research and looking at this was a kind of a 2-year exploration of how to build a modular cheese factory in a shipping container that I could send anywhere in the world.
On a flatbed truck.
On a flatbed truck or on a ship to Africa.
Wow.
Wherever there's a need for food stability, you could send what we call our cheese pod, and you can set this thing up. You plug in electricity, you plug in water, you're instantly transforming milk into cheese or yogurt or...
And this is really exciting because we've talked about distribution a bunch of times on the show, and it is, I think, like the number one challenge, just how to get cheese to people. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just think it's awesome.
So these are, the Mystic Cheese Pod is the first one that's ever being built. We custom designed every single piece of equipment inside of it.
Wow.
So our cheese vat is custom built. We have a really unique sanitary air handling system that can be fully cleanable. So you hear about cheesemakers with issues with listeria and things like that.
Mold that's in the vents.
Mold in vents.
Blue mold.
Yep. We can clean every single bit of our air system.
Wow. This is crazy. It's crazy.
I know. When you first mentioned this to me on the phone, I just called Brian to buy some cheese, and then he told me about the cheese pod, and I was like, holy moly. My head exploded.
He's potentially solving paradigm flaws of cheese making related to cultivating terpenes out of the alpine pastures.
Well, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Seriously.
So you pop this thing down on your, I look at it from a few perspectives. One, it could be great for a family farm, but I think there's also a number of people like me who don't own a farm, who want to partner and get the best milk they can with a local dairy farmer. So we have this great infrastructure that we can put onto a dairy farm without making brick and mortar investment. So you can partner with a dairy farm. They get to charge you a little bit of money for leasing space on their farm. You can run a milk line right from their cows into the cheese pod, and you're off making cheese. So the farmer wins by having this rent that he wasn't using for. Somebody's paying probably a better dollar for their milk. And so there's a number of people I think that could use these cheese pods moving forward beyond Mystic Cheese. So we're also selling them as a product as well. The first one's going to be probably 3 or 4 months into the testing period when we get it set up. It should be finished assembling on Monday. So we're looking to ship it next Friday.
Wow.
Right here into Connecticut. So.
And where are these being manufactured?
We have a fabrication shop out in southern Missouri, just outside of Branson. And we're building them here in America. It's 100% American employees with American stainless steel. Everything is made in America.
USA!
Do we have a couple minutes to talk about our app?
Yeah. I think, we've got about 2 minutes left. So let's...
It's a big part of what we're doing as well is we want to make sure that there's connectivity between all these different farms that we're going to be on and our cheese and our end consumer. Mm-hmm. So every cheese that we have is going to have a code That code can be entered into our application, which is simply going to be basically a website, and you'll be able to track your cheese as far as where it was made, where the animals were on pasture, what the animals were, what type of cheese it is, how old it is, down to the second from when you entered in the code, and then, of course, seasonal recipes, pairing ideas, just all the things we want to make sure people know that they can do with our cheeses, because, again, it's great to just eat straight up, but we want you to have some fun with it and learn about it as you're enjoying it.
Talk about traceability, you know. Wow. Yeah. That's the number one. I feel like, you know, distribution's a big issue in American cheese making. Traceability is another one, and so you Huge. Just nailed it. Yeah. Yeah, well,
most people are like, traceability, I'm afraid of it. How do I deal with it? I've been doing this for so long. I love how you've embraced it and actually have engaged the consumer with it, and it's now part of the whole process.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that all of our consumers know exactly where it's coming from, when it was made, what the farms are. We want to make sure they know that the farmer who's out there making sure that his animals, her animals, are eating the best they possibly can or making the best milk they can. We're going to eventually hook up some webcams so they can even check out Brian in the pod making some cheese.
Dancing.
Cheese of the future. Yeah,
you know, yeah. He is a sexy looking guy. Yeah.
I think it's really bold that you guys want to be so accountable and are actually like able to help people see exactly where their product comes from.
And using it not as, like, I feel like people view those things as kind of a threat, like you said, you know, but using it as a tool to, like, you know, draw people in and, like, you know, market your cheese even, you know. Mm-hmm. People want to know where their food comes from. That is the ultimate. Well, thank you guys so much for coming out and being on the show today. It's really exciting. The cheese is delicious. We have it at our shop, and it's going to be available soon, many other places across the city. And if you want to learn more, mysticcheese.com. And if you want to attend the Cheesemonger Invitational, cheesemongerinvitational.com. Yep.
And get your tickets now with the discount. Cutting the curd. No joke.
It's going to sell out. So, like, take advantage of the discount for all you mongers that might be diehard and listening. This is your discount opportunity. Take it and come through because it's going to be crazy.
We'll be back next Friday with another episode of Cutting the Curd.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Listeners, we want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.